Hello, everyone. My name is Jane Tiberio, and I'm a nutritionist and a wellness coach. You're listening to Healing Outside the Box. This is episode 213, and I'm calling it the Not-So-Boring Healthy Barbecue. So here we are, approaching Memorial Day, and we want to start eating better to lose those extra pounds before the summer. Or we want to continue working on our good eating habits that we've put together recently. Or our physician may have mentioned once or twice that we need to control our weight, our cholesterol, or our blood sugars. It doesn't matter what the reason. Barbecuing gets us outside, and it makes us feel that we're in the great outdoors, even if we're only 10 feet from the back door. And I'm here to say it's all good, even if it's not all hamburgers and hot dogs. We may have to spend some time chopping vegetables or marinating chicken, but it will be worth it because you'll be proud of yourself. Your family will be proud of you for knowing how to cook like a foodie in the great outdoors, and your physician will be proud of you for finally listening to him or her, and they may take credit for their idea to cook shrimp on the Barbie. But we all know that it came from you. Personally, I have my imaginary friend, let's call her Minnie Jean, to tell me to snap out of it and start eating better when I stray off the ranch. So today I'm going to give you a few tips to cook healthy and fabulous while outdoors. Number one. First, let's talk about charcoal grills versus gas grills. This is a food safety issue rather than a taste issue, because I think we know charcoal tastes better. But when a gas or a charcoal grill makes smoke and the meat gets charred, something called hydrocarbons are produced. Now, the smoke causes something called polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, or PAHs. PAHs come from partially burned fat that was inside the meat or chicken. Now, these types of hydrocarbons have been linked to cancer, but thus far only in laboratory rats at high doses. But when it comes to charcoal, the story is a little more complicated. Charcoal flames are hotter, which chars the meat faster and creates something called heterocyclic amines, or HCAs, which is another carcinogen. Now, this makes many people, including myself, a little sad because we love the taste of a charcoal barbecue. But here's the thing about this. Generally speaking, most people don't eat barbecue often enough for the health risk to be measurable. And most people barbecue with gas grills now. But if you barbecue frequently, using foods like hot dogs that have nitrites and nitrates, the risk may be a big deal. And that's because the nitrates by themselves are carcinogens. So you're adding up the overall cancer risk. Which brings me to number two. Substitute the hot dogs and prime rib for chicken and fish. For this, you'll probably need tin foil and vegetables to keep the protein moist. For the vegetables, you could cut up onions and peppers in relatively even-sized chunks. You can also use zucchini and cherry tomatoes. Maybe cut them in half, and that will give the chicken or fish more moisture. I like to roll the chunks around in a bowl of olive oil, salt, and pepper. But if you prefer, you can roast the vegetables separately on the grill and then add them to the cooked chicken or fish on the plate. Number three, use a cedar plank with fish for added flavor. Now, if you're using a cedar plank and you're a relative newbie, make sure to submerge it in ice water for about a day, 12 to 24 hours, depending on the width of the cedar plank. You can put it in a kitchen sink and put a weight on it. Then you can dry off the plank and put some mild oil like a grapeseed oil on the plank itself. Then season the fish. Salmon, halibut, swordfish are all good choices. Season the other side and plop it on the plank. You can also add mild herbs like thyme if you like. When you're grilling these thick fishes, initially you can put the grill on high heat, then turn down the heat. After you do that, cover the fish with the lid and check it every 1 or 2 minutes to make sure it's cooked evenly. When I look at recipes, they usually say about 6 minutes for every inch thickness. Again, cedar planks are a little tricky if you're a beginner, but they add a lot of flavor. If you don't want to do the cedar plank, you can always use a marinade before you grill. There are a ton of marinade recipes on the web. A pineapple or mango sauce goes really well with most fish. You can also buy bottled marinades in the grocery store. Number 4. Put lots of vegetables on the grill separately and fill up on them. Just FYI, corn and onions will take longer to cook, so start with them, followed by peppers, then zucchini and yellow squash if you like. You could do sweet potatoes this way as well, but you should probably start cooking them indoors first. If you throw the vegetables in a bowl separately, add fresh cherry tomatoes for moisture. If you want to put vegetables right on the grill and don't like the mess, you can also use a silicone mat, and you can buy these at Amazon or other places that sell grilling equipment. Remember to add oil, salt, and pepper. Number 5. Kebabs. Who doesn't like a kebab? I even like saying kebab. You can do chunks of chicken or shrimp, but I would recommend that you add chicken kebabs separately and don't put them on the same skewer, because even chicken in chunks will take longer. Shrimp should only take a few minutes on each side. If you use the wooden skewers, make sure that you soak them in water for about 30 minutes beforehand. You can alternate shrimp with mushrooms, peppers, chunks of red onion, zucchini, cherry tomatoes, Brussels sprouts, basically whatever you like. Make sure to use raw shrimp for this. Again, a marinade will add lots of flavor and moisture. You can throw everything in the marinade if you like. Number 6. Make different or more interesting salads. Let's face it, iceberg lettuce and tomatoes will not seem appealing next to the cheeseburgers. But cool-looking, colorful salads with fruit in it might seem appealing. And you know you're not the only one that's looking for healthier options. You could do something like spinach and romaine lettuce mixed with fruit like raspberries or strawberries. And that's pretty easy to put together. Basically, throw it all in a bowl. Fruit salad is always a good idea. Maybe a small pasta salad like orzo with an olive oil dressing and vegetables like, say, roasted red peppers and cucumber. I had a Mediterranean cold orzo salad once that was fabulous, and I went to the ends of the earth searching for the recipe because I tasted it at a party. Let's see. You could do green beans with almonds in a lemon or balsamic vinaigrette. You could substitute broccoli for the green beans, but in that case, I would go for the balsamic vinaigrette. I would suggest boiling them first and then rinsing them with cold water to stop the cooking. If you want a southwestern barbecue feel, you could make that southwestern black bean and corn salad. There are a lot of recipes on the internet for this type of salad, but it's basically equal parts black beans and cooked corn with something like a lime vinaigrette. You can add roasted bell peppers that you can either buy in a jar or roast them yourselves. You can add thin slices of red onion, either fresh or pickled. Pickled sometimes are nicer. And then season with lime juice, maybe cumin or chili powder, salt, or diced up cheese. I'll put a link to a recipe on my recipe page if you want to take it from there. Number 7. Making coleslaw can be easy and healthy if you have a kitchen gadget, which maybe you do if you're interested enough to still be listening to me. Most processors now come with some type of shredding attachment or an attachment to make julienne vegetables. Basically, you can slaw whatever you want. I like to keep carrots in the mix, but you can add different cabbages like the red cabbage or maybe roasted beets or shredded Brussels sprouts, any type of onion, of course, or scallions. You can add walnuts or pine nuts, maybe sesame seeds or pumpkin seeds. You can also add a bit of cooked soba noodles or udon noodles and make an Asian-like sauce. A peanut sauce might be nice for this. Basically, whatever floats your boat. Number 8. I said it above, and I'll say it again. Use marinades. If you don't want to make your own, there are plenty of bottled marinades available. If you marinate the chicken or fish, you won't have to add as much fatty stuff on top. You can cook the chicken or fish with the marinade if you like. If you're wrapping in foil, you can also do a thin fish like a sole or tilapia that has been marinated and then wrap all that in foil. A lemon or lime on top is always a nice touch. A fish like halibut that has been soaking in marinade will still stand up to the grill, and you may just need some foil or a silicone mat on the bottom. A really nice pineapple or mango salsa can double as a marinade. You can make it or just buy it at the store. Number 9. If you can afford it, some people like to just throw asparagus straight on the grill. If you can't afford it, you can always slice zucchini thin and throw that straight on the grill. These hearty but very low-calorie vegetables will fill you up, and you probably burn more calories eating the darn thing. Number 10. If you want a potato salad as a side, try the very small red potatoes and leave the skin on. That will increase the fiber and slow down the glucose absorption rate. If you want to skip the mayonnaise, you can use an olive oil-based salad dressing. There's a cold pasta salad recipe I like that cuts down on the mayonnaise by mixing it with pineapple juice. I don't see why that trick wouldn't work for a potato salad as well. Okay, so I hope I gave you a few ideas that you can run with if you want to cut down on the fatty meats when you barbecue. And folks, you do want to barbecue outdoors, because every year about 50 lives are lost by people barbecuing indoors, and that's more than shark attacks. If I can save but one life, then I have truly paid my debt to society. As always, if you're looking for suggestions, you can always email me on my contact page, which is on my website, which is healingoutsidethebox.com. That's all I have for you today. Be well and stay tuned next week for another episode of Healing Outside the Box.